There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Benched with Bubba. This is episode 36, and I will be joined once again by one of my more regular guests, one of my good buddies from thesportsdegens.com. Doc will be joining us tonight. You can find him on Twitter at positive_vig. Doc, how are we doing this evening?
Excellent, man. How are you?
Good, good. Good to have you back. Always fun having you because it's not really just a one-topic deal. We can talk a little bit about everything, which is always fun, cover a lot of things coming up. We have the NFL draft around the corner. You just put out a nice free agency piece on the AFC. Richard put one on the NFC, so we'll talk about that. Get into some NBA playoff talk and wrap it up with our favorite, the UFC. But let's kick it off with the NFL. Let's kick it off with the NFL. Like I said, you had the AFC piece, Richard, NFC, but you can cover it all. Let's kick it off with some of the winners. Give me some of the top teams that did very well in the free agent world.
First off, I mean, I hate that I'm trying to be as unbiased as I can, but nobody can deny that the Patriots just absolutely destroyed the offseason, and they gave many to hate them even more if you're not a Patriots fan. Besides that, there were some teams that really made some quality moves, I thought. Digging in, as I've done the past 2 weeks, I thought Miami did really well grabbing Lawrence Timmons. I think he's going to do really, really well in Miami. They finally dumped Deion Jordan, who I really liked coming out of college, but he really didn't amount to anything. Going down, I mean, the 49ers – did they overpay for guys? Yes. But did they add a lot of solid pieces to their roster? Yes, they did. The Brian Hoyer signing, I don't get, but I like the picking up Pierre Garçon. He's a good piece. So even though he's getting a little Malcolm Smith, he just, when it came over from Oakland, went to San Fran, a solid tight end. I thought they did really well. One team I was really, really not a lot of people talked about them was the Colts. Colts did really well. They actually took two of the pass rushers from New England, Jabal Sheard and Barkavius Mingo, who I really liked. And I was when they traded for him, I was really excited. But apparently, he's expendable. So. Let's see, who else did they grab? They grabbed the developing Marcus Hunt from Cincinnati. He's still hasn't really scratched the surface, but I think he's decent talent. So obviously they really, really kind of focused on their pass rush. So I thought the Colts did really well. I thought the Ravens did really, really well, bolstering their secondary. The Jaguars really, really did well. They lost Prince Amukamara, however you pronounce his name. They lost Jonathan Cyprian, and they lost Tyson Alualu, their former first-round pick, who's been with the team say 7-8 years. And they replaced Alualu with Calais Campbell. they replaced Amukamara with, what was his name? Boye from Houston came on last year for the Texans. He was Texans lost their division rival. And then they replaced Cyprian with Barry Church from the Cowboys. So I think Cyprian's a – I've always liked Cyprian. I think and I've talked to you in the past about individual defensive players in fantasy. Cyprian's always a guy that just racks up tackles. He's a really good, solid tackler. The Ravens did really well bolstering their secondary, as I mentioned before. They grabbed Brandon Carr. Made a couple moves there. I really like what they did. Really good grabbing Alshon Jeffery and Torrey Smith. I thought they made some moves that's only going to help Carson Wentz. There's teams that the Patriots actually really surprised me the way that how aggressive they were getting Brandon Cooks in and stuff. But there's some other teams that really made some solid roster moves, just building depth, adding depth to the roster. So. Those are some of the teams I thought did really well.
Yeah, the Patriots, we all know my feelings on them, but those like 48 to 72 hours where they just went very unpatriot-like, you were like a giddy kid on Christmas morning while I was like a disgruntled ex-lover. And it was absolutely horrible just watching, like literally – it was like I was getting cucked. I was just sitting there watching it happen, and there was nothing I could do. It was one of the worst things ever going, okay, my Dolphins, every year, they basically have to play flawless just to survive in that division, let alone get to the playoffs. And then you got the Patriots who perennially, as long as Belichick's there and Brady especially, Belichick's the main cog, as we all know. As long as those guys are there, they're always going to contend. They were already the favorites in Vegas to repeat. Now they go out and just – that Cook signing made me furious, or the trade. Yeah. And then the other signings, they're like 3-1 favorites in Vegas, which if people don't understand in football terms, that's crazy because parity does exist in football. Sure, the Patriots are favorites. Just like in basketball, Golden State's kind of the favorite, so you can get them at a good number. But 3-1 in the NFL is just – you don't see that.
No, you don't see that. You're right.
You don't see that until like AFC title game, maybe stuff like that. Like it's crazy. So that just goes to show you what they did. The Niners, you hit it on the head. What they did, many might critique, but like you said, they have to spend. No one's coming to that team right now.
Right.
They don't have a choice. And right now, Shanahan's just putting a few pieces together. He's going to go for Cousins or someone else next year, or even in the draft. We might get to that here in a little bit. He's going to build his team, but it's going to take a little time because, like Chip Kelly likes to do, he likes to ruin franchises, and it doesn't help that the ownership and play there is a disaster. The Colts, they definitely needed the defense. That's a good call there. Ravens as well. I love seeing the Jags do things because they've been so close. You were high on them last year. They made some good strides. Now they can build on the defense because the offense wasn't really that bad, but the defense was horrific, making Bortles throw like crazy all the time. And those Eagles, getting Wentz weapons is going to be scary. Let's talk about some of the losers because not everybody can do great, even though it seems like most did actually pretty well filling their needs for the most part. What are some teams that kind of, disappointed you?
Houston. Yeah, Houston, we have a problem. I think they put all their eggs in one basket with Romo. Good for them for getting rid of Brock Osweiler, but I still gave them a low grade because they never should have paid him in the first place.
Very true.
I don't get what they're doing. But I mean, I've heard some good things about Savage, so you never know what I mean. But they really didn't make any other moves. They let their Kareem Jackson's pretty good. I mean, he's I believe that's the other guy, the other corner they have. But and they still got JJ Watt aging. But then again, Jadeveon Clowney, he's there. They still got a solid defense. They still got a lot of solid players. You know, Lamar Miller had a great year. You know, they got some good players, but they just, you know, if you don't have a quarterback in this league, it's a quarterback-driven league. Everybody knows that. So, yeah. And then the team that grabbed Brock Osweiler, Browns are going to Browns. So, yeah, I don't get that at all. Don't get it.
Yeah, Browns are good Browns. That's the perfect comment with that. That the only thing I've heard explanation-wise that you can kind of buy into is they stocked up on draft picks, and it's basically contracts just that are going to expire so they can rebuild. That's the only thing I can understand.
Yeah. Some people think that the Bears overpaid for Glennon. I think it's kind of a wait and see. Glennon does have some talent. I liked him coming out of NC State, and he had some flashes of, you know, flashes of being a really, really solid quarterback in Tampa Bay, you know, the limited time that he did play. So that's kind of a wait and see on them. The Bengals, they really didn't do much. The Jets are just really bad, really bad. They lost Mangold. They let him go. They released Revis. They he went cross town to the Giants. That team just doesn't draft well. I mean, how many times are they going to draft a defensive lineman? But then again, last year they did draft Darren Lee, who I really, really like out of Ohio State. I think he's going to be a really solid player, but Jets don't look good. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. From what I did here, just to add on the Patriots. I don't mean to be benched with the Patriots, but Marcus Gillisley, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah,
who looked really, really solid. I guess the Patriots signed him to an offer sheet. So. Hours to match, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I saw that as well. That's another one that's made me so, so happy.
Just another kick in the balls.
pretty much. Just the Dolphins. We play for the wild card. That should be the slogan. The Jets, they are just so laughable to me. I don't know what they're doing. I don't think they know what they're doing.
No.
It's a gigantic cluster in that place. I just don't get it. And you said it. You hit Houston. I'm glad you said that because I totally even forgot about the whole – I blocked them out. But that they did go all in on Romo.
Mm.
And it's like they were left with their pants down.
Yeah.
It was horrible. And so you're going with Savage, like you said. People have – you know, he was good in college, but that was Pitt. So take that with a grain of salt. And – but Bradley knows how to coach quarterbacks. We know that much.
True.
Then again, we said that with Osweiler, and we saw how that ended up. The draft's always a possibility, but Houston, Cleveland, the Jets for sure. And you mentioned – oh, Glennon. I agree with you on Glennon. I liked him a lot at NC State, and he did look good at Tampa Bay in the times he had there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd wait and see because, for crying out loud, Cutler had his moments. Barkley actually looked pretty good for the most part.
I liked Matt Barkley the way he looked. I did.
I was good with him starting the year with them, but apparently they weren't. I thought he actually earned a chance with that team. I thought he played really well. But it'll be interesting to see. So with these teams that struggled in free agency and obviously the teams that did well, it kind of stands out. Most of them are playoff teams for the most part, and the ones that didn't aren't. It's a surprise, surprise. But coming up, we have the NFL draft starting next Thursday. It's like a 7-day extravaganza, it feels like now. Anything you're hearing, you know, everyone's talking Trubisky, and I'm not that high on him, at least initially. I think he needs to sit and watch. He really never proved anything to me at North Carolina. North Carolina, not a really good football team. They're in the ACC, and I don't know. I wasn't big on them. But anything you're really hearing, you know, it doesn't have to be as Trubisky, just in general, NFL draft coming up next week.
Actually, Richard and I just started a mock draft today. Nice. And yeah, I'm really, really actually, you know what? I was actually doing some yard work and I had my iPhone in, and you know how I have the college fight songs on my iPod when I do the podcast.
Yep.
Man, a song came up and I just started really, really looking forward to football, even though we just started baseball season. But yeah, so I haven't really heard much. I've heard good things and bad things about Trubisky. I am not sold. It would not. I mean, I know we're going to see a quarterback go in the first round. Fournette's going to go really, really high. I think he's going to go top five. I really do. I think he's just. Wouldn't shock me to see him go to Jacksonville. You know, the guy's just so good. The only thing is the injuries and stuff, and I just think that if any time he was dinged up at LSU, he just didn't want to play and risk it, you know. I will say this, and I know there's a lot of people out there that agree with me, and I said it, and some people think I'm on crack, but I think that I think that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the draft, period. Mm-hmm. I love him, and I tell you what, if they ended up with the Texans, good for them, because I think he's the best quarterback in the draft. He's got he's solid, man. Release, goes through his reads, arm, good footwork. I think he's going to be really good quarterback out of this draft class.
Yeah, I believe when I had Alex on the pod, he was big on Mahomes. He liked Mahomes a lot, and
yes,
so he lives and breathes college football. So if you're agreeing with him, or he's agreeing with you, vice versa, that's a good good backing for a player right there, because you guys both know your stuff very well. So Mahomes was a special guy. A lot of people gave him crap because he was at Texas Tech and was like playing a video game. But hey, you still mm-hmm. got to make those plays over and over and over again. So there's something to be said to that. But we'll keep an eye out for yours and Richard's mock draft. That's always a fun one at thesportsdegens.com. Announced today, Tampa Bay Bucks are your Hard Knocks team this year. Are we looking forward to that or no? Got Winston, Evans,
DeSean Jackson.
Oh, I forgot he's there. Now that could be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see how that works. But yeah, they got a pretty good team. They really turned. They took a while to get going last year, but they really, you know, they're a pretty solid team. Should be interesting.
Yeah,
I'll watch that.
I'm looking forward to it. One year, I'd like to see the Patriots. We just know that'll never happen because cameras and the Patriots, that just doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't go there. All right, we'll move on to the NBA, and we'll talk some NBA playoffs. They kicked off over the weekend, rock and rolling. Warriors are up 1-0. Utah is up 1-0 on the Clipper, but Gobert's out and hurt. You got the Rockets beating up on OKC, up 1-0. Spurs 2-0 on the Grizz. Celtics are playing the Bulls right now, and you said they are getting beat down. Washington 1-0 on Atlanta. Toronto and Milwaukee are going at it, and Cleveland's up 2-0 on Indiana. We'll kick it off. Let's go kind of matchup by matchup. I know we're a little late on this, but we'll get it going. Boston, Chicago, the 1-8 seed in the East. What are your thoughts on this, kind of where it's at now, where you see it ending?
I think Boston's in trouble. I think Chicago's just a bad matchup. I think Boston's in trouble. I don't know.
So is this a scenario where, like, the East is that bad that 1-8 are all pretty tight?
I think it's just Cleveland and everybody else. I mean, even though Cleveland looked like shit down the stretch, you know, and they rested guys and they didn't care. I mean, the fact that if they got the second seed, they knew the Celtics weren't that good. And before we started tonight. I just Celtics team just doesn't. I don't know. They're missing. I don't think Horford's a good fit. Just I mean, they look good. They have, and they're a good team, but they're not a number one seed. They're just not a like I can't. I'd love to see it, and as a fan, like I'm hoping for it, but not gonna happen. Not gonna
Well,
happen.
to be fair, you guys can't have every championship all the time. So
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
let Chicago have at least this round, I guess. What do you got, Washington, Atlanta, the 4-5 matchup? What are you seeing there?
Atlanta actually really started coming on strong down the stretch. And they were like a team that they were going to trade. I can't think of his name. Were they going to trade him? Were they not? Were they going to be buyers, sellers at the trade deadline? Who knows? But a good coach. Bolton has Budenholzer's a really, really good coach. There's Hardaway Jr.'s had a pretty solid year. Schroeder's got a, he's a great shooter. But, and Dwight Howard's actually had a pretty good season, believe it or not. Now he's back home. So I would like to see Atlanta do well, but I don't think they're going to get past Washington. I think Washington's just too.
Too good. Toronto, Milwaukee. It looks like an interesting matchup to me. I know it's the 3-6 matchup, but two kind of interesting teams, a young Milwaukee squad, and you got Toronto. What are you seeing on that one?
I think Milwaukee can win it. Toronto is just, God, all the Canadian Twitter fans are going to be like, I think Toronto's such a bunch of fakes. I just they just are. They tease you and they say, we are the North, and they got Drake and all that crap, and they have no bench, even though they grab they suck at anything. I'm sorry, guys. They're not going to win
Oh, that's
anything.
great. That's great. I love it. They have Drake and everything. That sums it up for you right there. Don't they have
Yeah.
Bieber too? Isn't Bieber Canadian? It's just a
So.
bad. They have Nickelback. We can just keep going if you want.
Avril Lavigne.
Oh man, Chad Kroeger and Avril Lavigne, fucking Canada's finest.
You know what I was thinking? Like, and I'm not, I mean, I got on Twitter that, I talk to that are from Canada, and I'm not busting on them. I think Canada's a great country and stuff, but like, do you remember when the Blue Jays were in the playoffs last year? Like, when they got beat in that series, like, what did Pozzola do? Did he, like, go home, have a glass of wine, and listen to F Five for Fighting or something? I mean,
He probably got on his computer and figured out how the stats didn't match up because they were supposed to
dude, they were
win.
so brokenhearted over that, man. So
You think they'd be
brokenhearted.
used to it
Yeah. Poor bastards.
now? Take notes out of some of my team's books. You get used to this stuff. Expect the worst, and then when the best happens, you're happy. Just learn. All right, enough bashing. Let's go on to we could do this all night, but we might lose people by now. Cleveland, Indiana. You said Cleveland's pretty much good to go. Evan, who writes for us, previewed the playoffs. He has an easy sweep here. He's thinking the same thing. Maybe 5 games.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe Indiana steals one at home. All right, then. In the second round, do they reseed in NBA? I always get that confused.
No,
No, they do.
they
Yeah,
do
I know they do
not.
it. Okay, so you got Bulls in Washington. Who you got coming out of that one?
Washington.
And you
Washington.
got Milwaukee and Cleveland. I'm assuming Cleveland again.
Cleveland.
Cleveland, Washington. You got Cleveland in the finals. Sweet. Let's move it on to the Western Conference. The Golden State Warriors, Portland Trailblazers. The Warriors asserted their domination, I'd say, later in game one. Do we see this one going pretty easy?
You know what? And this series really, really intrigued me. a lot as the team that can compete with Golden State and healthy. Their center,
Nurkic,
the guy they got from Denver midseason. Like, ever since they got him, man, they played really, really well. And Nurkic just does well there. I think if he was healthy, I think this would be a very, very, not a very, very, very close series. Maybe, I honestly, when Nurkic was healthy and they were playing really well, I just, you know, I told some people that I talked to, I was like, Portland can beat Golden State. They're built to beat Golden State. And I mean, hell, they've done it before, but no, not going to happen. Not this year.
All right. Now, this one was intriguing until Rudy Gobert got hurt. But Clippers, Utah, with Gobert out, does the Clippers just kind of handle business now?
They should. They should roll tonight. They should roll tonight. If Clippers is just one of those teams that just – they have a lot of the talent. They have the outside shooting. They have the inside presence with Jordan and Blake Griffin. They got a lot of talent on that team. It's just, can they just can't put it all together. I don't know. I just don't get it. Like,
that seems to be a yearly problem with them. They get to the dance and then they just fall apart every year. It seems like
Doc Rivers done lost his voice already.
Oh Jesus Christ! After one game. Oh no! All right, yeah. Houston, Oklahoma City, the battle of the MVPs: James Harden, Russell Westbrook, not Michael Jordan. Russell Westbrook, he's playing like the best player in basketball. Houston, OKC. Yeah, Houston moving on here.
Yeah, and I really feel for Russ, man. I was rooting for that guy all year, and guy never runs his mouth. He just, you know, and you could tell that the whole KD thing really got to him when they were playing time and he's mouthing off at half court. But you just got to love that guy. And, you know, they really feel for him. But he's had a great season. Houston's just the deeper team.
Yeah, it's tough to be Westbrook. The stuff he did this year was just insane, absolutely insane. It was like you knew a triple-double was coming every night. Like in DraftKings, you paid $13,000 and you just built around it somehow. It was that stupid.
You did.
It was that stupid because I can't remember where I was listening or reading or something. At one point late in the season, I think the winning lineups in like the main like $3 or $4 tournaments, like over 60% of the winning lineups all had Westbrook.
Yep.
You had to have them.
Yep.
It's like the old baseball thing: fading Coors in the long run doesn't pay off for you. Fading Russell Westbrook doesn't pay off for you.
Seriously.
But it's a shame, like you said. I do feel bad for him because it's him with like four clowns running in circles.
Right.
Just not fair. The fact of the six seed's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I like some of the pieces they have. I like Kanter. I like Enes Kanter a lot. I like and I think he's going to fit in well there. It's just going to take him some time. I think he's going to fit in pretty well, but it's going to take some time.
All right, San Antonio's up 2-0 on Memphis. San Antonio going to walk away with this one pretty easy.
Unfortunately, Memphis got absolutely robbed last night. They should have won that game. All the calls. Spurs got all the calls. It was that. And I guess the coaches rant, Memphis's coach, his rant this morning on driving in. They got worked. I watched some of the game and I was like, man, this is bad.
Yeah, can you enlighten me? I saw little bits and pieces, but what exactly went on when he kept saying like something about no data or something about data?
Yeah, the fact that the number of fouls called compared to fouls called on Memphis compared to Memphis got no fouls called. They went to the line more than the whole Memphis team, I think. Wow. It was really bad.
That is very, very bad. But that's the NBA for you.
Yep.
Was Tim Donaghy reffing?
No. No.
Because I was live in Sacramento for that Lakers Kings game, and you could feel it. It was just wrong.
Yeah.
It was horrible. But okay, so you got Golden State, Clippers. Who do you got going on? Could be a fun series.
That is a fun series, but yeah, you gotta go with the Warriors.
And then Houston, San Antonio, the Battle of Texas. You have a free shooting club against a little more disciplined defensive team. But the Spurs showed they could score pretty good this year if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. So what do you liking in that one?
I'm going to go with Houston there.
I like that because I'd love to see the next matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's just because James Harden is going to put up 50 a night, or they just have too many weapons?
I just think they have too many weapons. I think San Antonio's old.
Yep. Eventually that other shoe has to drop on them.
Correct.
Eventually.
Yep.
Okay, so Golden State versus Houston. Now, that's a hell of a matchup. That's the one where you hope it goes seven games just for all the entertainment values.
Yeah, I hope it goes seven games. Probably Golden State wins that, but Houston's going to push them to the limit. Houston can compete with them.
So we have a rematch of last year's final, if all goes right. Golden State, Cleveland. Does Golden State blow another 3-1 lead? Do they not have a 3-1 lead, or do they actually win it this time? Is KD the answer, basically?
Man, I like Cleveland. I like Cleveland in that series. And nice. The thing is, I don't think Kevin Durant has the big shot in him.
Nope.
I think he chokes.
I can see that. If he had the big shot, he would have stayed with Russ for one because they had something great there, and that means they would have been really close, but he left for a reason, I think.
Yeah. He didn't want to do the dirty work. And yep. I think Cleveland matches up pretty well with him. I mean, last year, yeah, you can say what you want about the Draymond getting the technical and getting suspended for a game, but Cleveland took over. So I'm going to go with Cleveland. I think they're going to hit their stride at the right time. I don't think they peaked all year, and I think they're the time they hit Golden State. So I'm going to go with Cleveland. Everybody might think I'm fucking nuts, but whatever.
No, I can't argue. They've shown what they have. The very balanced team. You have the best player in all of basketball. That's always a plus. And Golden State, if it's like the old Duke theory, if they're not shooting well, they're going to blow out of the gym.
The thing with Golden State is, man, they're a super talented team, but they have no rim protector.
Yeah, and you know Draymond, if that series happens, or even the ones before that you've talked about, he's going to lose his shit at one point in time, if not more, and something stupid's going to happen. You just know it. He's like a little 2-year-old on the freaking jungle gyms that can't control himself because his swing's being taken.
Yep.
It's stupid.
Yeah, it is.
But real quick before we get on something else, I got a little PV today. What's your thoughts on Grayson Allen staying in college? I had to bring it up.
You know, I hate him
with a passion.
I fucking hate him. God damn it.
Isn't it so Duke to have another, this is no racist at all, another white guy sticking around for like his eighth year?
Where the fuck is Bevo? Where the fuck is Bevo?
Oh, that's how I found out about it. I was working and got a direct message from the man.
Jesus fucking Christ. Who cares? I fucking hate that kid. But you know what? He needs to grow up, so maybe it'll do him some good, but
nothing. Oh, because if he would have pulled that shit in the NBA, he would have been curb stomped by somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. What's his name? He would have been like Rudy Tomjanovich back in the day.
if those days still existed, that'd be great.
Awesome. Wouldn't it be awesome if Bill Laimbeer played with Grayson Allen? played against him? Just elbowed him right in the jaw.
Just the bad boys. Get the bad boys out there for one game. On
Grayson, that'd be great.
Even if it was like the Duke teams of old against like UNLV.
Yeah.
Get a shit kick.
Yeah, he would. I love
It's
it.
just such a different animal these days.
You know what the thing is, like Duncan, like I feel so bad for him because my hatred of Duke just grew throughout the whole season. I said one time we were in a, I was like, I fucking hate Duke, and he was like, why? I was like, because I fucking hate him. I fucking hate Duke.
It's nothing personal. It's nothing personal at all.
Not at all.
It's like when the Cowboys are doing well or the Yankees are doing well. It's like you just hate them. It's just how it works.
Yeah. So glad
Duke
to,
is that team.
so glad South Carolina beat him. So glad.
It was amazing. That was just outstanding. Couldn't have happened to a better team.
Yeah.
Back to the NBA talk, because we could talk Duke hatred for hours. The MVP, pretty much in my eyes, unless I'm missing someone, it's Harden or Westbrook. I'd go Westbrook just for the craziness he did, but Harden was pretty damn impressive as well. Do you have another option there, or is it just one of those two?
It's got to be Russ. It's got to be Russ or Harden. You can give it to either or. I don't care, but it's got to be Russ, man. The guy's triple double, man. It's fucking, and you hear a lot of these talk shows about like way for him to get a rebound. I don't give a fuck. Give it, where would OKC be without him? You granted you could say that about Harden, but OKC would be like. Seriously.
But that's the definition of an MVP, so that makes total sense.
It's got to be Russ. It's got to be.
Yeah, I'm all on board with that. I have no problem with that at all. I was just wondering, because I've heard a lot of late rumors, probably not accurate rumors, but late rumors that Harden was making a push. So I just wanted to see your opinion on it, because you watch it a little more, definitely a lot more than I do. So I was just curious.
Hey, you know what? Look at it this way. If Russ doesn't win the MVP this year, he's going to be even nastier next year. So,
Oh, it's going to be scary. I wonder, you might know, if you don't, it's okay. How much longer is he in contract in Oklahoma City?
I think one more year
Oh, that
after
team's going to be a
this.
disaster after he leaves. He's not sticking around for that shit
Nah.
unless they spend some serious cash.
You know what, though? The thing is, they draft really well, and I think Sabonis will turn into a good player. I think. That I mean, they've always drafted really, really well.
They have Oladipo too. That was a great trade.
Oladipo was a good trade. I think they're going to be a. I think they could be a solid team if McDermott pans out, is inside with Cantor and Adams. I mean, they do have a solid team, but I'm rooting for them.
Yeah, that'd be fun to watch. It's the beauty of the NBA. Too bad they're on the East.
Yep.
Okay. So anything else, like any big surprises or disappointments from the season that kind of stood out besides the obvious, like Russell Westbrook just triple-double craze? Anything that really stood out, good and bad, this season?
I think we touched on it earlier. I think Horford's just Al Horford with Boston has just been doesn't work. Just doesn't work. And I think the way Cleveland handled their like being the defending champions, I think they've I don't know what it is, but it's almost like LeBron doesn't have the whole team. Like, there was that incident with him and Tristan Thompson where he called him out on the court or something. And then he said, I got to be bigger than that or whatever. But I don't know, man. Yeah, I mean, my main disappointment was probably how bad Al Horford fit in with the Celtics. Because I just didn't like the signing in the first place. Ultimately disappointed because just I don't know, but just didn't fit. He's just not a good fit. The ultimate surprise for me, well, James Harden played side of the ball. I thought he really grew as a player this year. Play defense, becoming a real leader on that team. I thought he a lot of growing up this year, and he's become like so good for him.
Okay, cool. Let's move on to one of our little bread and butters, one would say, the UFC. And they are busy as always. We had the 210 podcast a couple weeks ago. You've been writing solid stuff for the upcoming cards. Last week we had UFC on Fox 24. But before we get into that, you hit me up with a text that I almost drove off the road in excitement. I thought I couldn't be more excited after last night. I was pretty freaking pumped. And I know it's not official. Jonny Jones still has to accept it. And Cormier will probably pull his vagina along the way. But Dana White said, John Jones, title shot, UFC 214 in Anaheim. If anybody that's listening to this has listened to our preview pods, I flat out told Dougie, who lives down that way, if the fight card is good, I'm coming down. We're getting tickets. Mm-hmm. That makes the fight card good. They could have 12 other amateur fights from Invicta. I will drive down for John Jones versus Daniel Cormier.
They should.
What are your thoughts on this? Does it actually happen?
First of all, if they do make that fight and you and Dougie are going, I hope they move the Bechkaia Holly Holm fight to Anaheim Dougie can see his favorite fighter
in person, live, up close.
I think it's going to happen, and I ultimately know what's going to happen to DC. From what I hear,
like prison rape.
It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. Yes. Jones, from what I hear, like, he's talked about it. He's really, really been working on his jiu-jitsu a lot. He's going to make Daniel Cormier tap. He's going to make him tap, or he's going to choke him out or do something. He's going to make him tap. He's not going to want to knock him out. He's going to want to make him tap out.
That would be
– That is my prediction.
I can't wait, because, if, like I said, if people listen to our UFC pods, and I know a lot of people do, and we appreciate that, I hate Daniel Cormier. As a fighter, he's a good fighter. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But just his persona makes him so hateable. It's unbelievable. When he first started, you could like the guy. But it's like WWE. He turned heel so fast and has embraced that role that John Jones, a guy that has been in DUI hit and runs, has had a Scarface epidemic, and now he takes steroids, is still loved more than Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, because John Jones doesn't run his mouth, and Daniel Cormier thinks he's like – he's hey, Lance – I believe Lance tweeted it after the DC fight. He's a paper champ. He's not the real champ. He's a paper champ. And, you know – and he acts like the thing that pisses me off about DC is he talks like he's already beaten or has. But he's like, you come get my belt. Well, that DC, man, come on, let's get real. And you know what? John Jones will embarrass him. Embarrass him. Because I'll tell you what.
The only concern I have, sorry, but I had to say this because – when Jones came back after his hit and run and fought
OSP,
Peru, he looked shitty. And I know he's taking this way more seriously. He already mentioned the jiu-jitsu. He's keeping his mouth shut. He's been training the whole time, even though he's been suspended. Mm-hmm. He's not sitting on his ass getting fat. He knows this fight's on the agenda, and he's been getting ready for it. It's like the longest fight camp anyone's ever had, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gonna come in and work DC, and Anthony Johnson flat out quit. I mean, he not only did he tap, he just known that the R word was even, you know, very. I actually probably would have max bet fucking DC.
Yep,
that's fucking horseshit. Whatever.
I thought the same thing when he announced his retirement. I was like, where the fuck was this ahead of time? Because then I already know your head's not in it. Because if you're not thinking retirement, if you think you're going to win.
Right.
It's that simple. Mm-hmm. So you tell me in a title fight, you're already planning your retirement because you're done. Oh, that was just frustrating. That was worse than the towel weigh-in where he lost 3 pounds in 30 seconds.
Yeah, that was horseshit too. That was horseshit. That was fucking bullshit. Yeah.
But yeah, another reason to hate Daniel Cormier. Okay. Let's recap UFC on Fox 24. Another great free fight card. We talked about this real briefly at the end of the last pod. Your write-up covered a ton of this. Their free cards are almost better than their pay-per-views most times. And yeah. This free card on Fox, I didn't see the Fight Pass stuff. You always watch those or usually watch those. But I saw the prelims. I saw the main card. That main card was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And the prelims weren't bad either. Dimitri, we'll start at the top. Dimitri is just a bad, bad man.
Yeah, bad, he's good. He
made that look so.
Yeah, he's on another level. He's really, really good. And he's just good.
Like, I'm looking at the thing right here, 134 total strikes to 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Jesus. Like, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, Joanna Champion, puts out a lot of volume, but that is crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Dana mentioned Demetrius is going to have a shot at multiple titles. I missed it. Is he going 145?
I think eventually he's going to fight Cody. Cody, I think Cody's going to beat Dillashaw. So, yeah, I think it's going to happen within the next 2 years.
That'd be a great card. Rose, Thug Rose, we talked. It was funny. We talked earlier in the week against the hottie mama, Watterson, and we both were big on Watterson. Mm-hmm. And then you started doing your deep dive like you always do, and I wake up to a text on Dan goes, the text from Doc, seriously, it's always – I always have to – first off, I have to decipher Doc's text sometimes because he like sends them like I already know or seven sentences into the conversation. It was just like, Rose looks really good. I think I'm going to be on Rose. That was like the basics of the text. And he's on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast. I'm waking up to this text. And I couldn't change my mind in our Toutmaster deal. But you made the right call because she was Spider Monkey, like we were talking about. What are your thoughts on Rose?
She looked really good. She looked really good. I just thought I looked into it more. I watched more of her fight with I know she was going to come back better. And simply the fact that she was just bigger than Watterson. Watterson used to be an atom weight. And she had like a 3-inch reach on her. And I know that Rose was working like she, I know she was putting on more muscle. She was just a bigger fighter. I mean, Watterson, it just something clicked in my head. Like, of all the line didn't make sense. But then it did, and then I just looked into it more and more. Because I was thinking like, yeah, this is going to be a Watterson's fight. But then I just looked into it. I'm like, Watterson's going to beat her. Does it hit hard? She hits, but she didn't knock girls out. Like, she's so it was pretty clear for me.
Yeah, and the more I thought about it, I was busy. I should have changed my decision, but. You started getting my wheels turning in my head, and I'm like basing most of my thoughts on Watterson beating up Paige VanZant. And I know how bad Paige VanZant is. So I'm sitting there telling myself, God, VanZant's not any good, but Watterson looks so good in that fight. And Rose, the last time we saw Rose, she just got abused. But damn impressive. But I think we're on the same page here, unless I'm wrong. She's likely going to get the winner of Joanna's fight, which should be Joanna. Joanna, to me, is basically the Demetrius Johnson of the women's division. Is Rose going to have a chance with Joanna?
Sure. Yes. She will. I think she'll have a chance. I think Andrade has a chance if she can get her down. A very, very powerful. And if Andrade can pick her up and slam her down and take her.
Very big. He's very big for that division.
Take her somewhere where Joanna's not comfortable, then we'll see. But getting Joanna down is risk. So we'll see. That's going to be a really good fight.
That's a good point, though, because who was it Joanna faced as a fight or two ago? A little more of a wrestler than a stand-up fighter.
Claudia Gadelha.
Gadelha. And Gadelha looked really good for the first couple rounds until she kind of gassed.
Yes.
And then Rose just put on a punching clinic. But the first two rounds, Gadelha, I think she was up 2-0 going around three.
And Andrade's, I think, is very – Andrade's like the strongest strawweight, I think.
That's a good point.
We'll see.
I'm looking forward to breaking that bad boy down here in a few weeks. Yeah. One of the great ones, we were both on this doggy. Too bad we didn't have a unanimous pod pick on this one. But we were all over Robert Whittaker, over Jacare. We love Jacare, but there's just something – you say it every time Jacare is in a fight. You pretty much take the dog because Jacare leaves the chin exposed. And one Robert Whittaker found it multiple times and finally got him down. What I want to know, do you think they stopped it too early? Because Jacare looked like he rolled over to kind of defend himself.
Yeah, and I don't know.
It was really – I don't know.
it looked a little off. I mean, the stoppage kind of looked a little weird, but beat up pretty bad. I mean, look at his face after the fight. So it's like, he wasn't gonna beat Whittaker that night.
No, Whittaker was beating his ass. But the only thing I'm thinking, it was so late in round two. If he's defending himself, like kind of rolling over in position, and it gets to round three, Jacare is so technically talented that a submission is easily in the cards.
When I thought when Jacare initially went for the and had him down somewhat, but Whittaker, you know, scrambled out of it and got out of that, you know, got out of it and got the fight back up to standing. I knew that was Whittaker's fight. I think Jacare right there was like, oh, shit.
Well, it comes back to the point is Jacare, it was either Jacare or Romero. And we pretty much say Romero's the number one contender. But Jacare, he had everything to lose in that fight, and he lost it. Odd taking that fight, but he got his big fight deal also. Maybe that's part of the deal. So he was happy he got paid. But be interesting to see, does Whittaker go and face Rockhold next? And, you know, that gets the winner of the Romero-Bisping fight, because I think Bisping, like, we kind of think, is going to beat GSP. A lot of things to happen because, as we always say, they're wasting that division. And now Whittaker's right there in the rankings of wasted away. So,
well, I will say one thing. This – I was actually when I was cleaning the kitchen tonight, because I think about things when I clean the kitchen about UFC fights to make. Think about Robert Whittaker, Gastelum.
That's an interesting fight. That's a very interesting fight.
I mean, Gastelum smoked his way out of 212, so. But that's another open fight. I think ultimately Whittaker's going to get Rockhold, and he'll knock Rockhold out too.
Yeah, I agree. Whittaker's up and coming. I like what I see there. The last card on the main card, Heathen Stevens versus Renato Mochiano. Split decision. Very interesting. I got annoyed by Mochiano dancing around all goddamn fight. You can see Stevens was pissed off about that too. Who do you have winning that fight?
I had Moicano. I bet Moicano to win the fight, and I had him. I scored it with him winning the fight 29-28.
Yeah, it was tight. It was very tight. I couldn't argue with either score. I thought Moicano did more as well. But when I see fighters running away, if I'm a judge, that just turns me off.
That's but he got the better of the exchanges, though. And
true.
And he and like I said, I tweeted it out, he fought a very smart fight. He's not going to – Stevens, I said, Stevens has to respect – he has to respect the fact that Moicano is not going to go toe-to-toe with him, because not many in that division will. So, hey, he fought a smart fight, and that was it.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Speaking of the undercard, anything that really stood out as big things? I'm not going to go through every fight, but a lot of good fights. Hell, there was 9 cards if you count the fight pass prelims. Anything that really stood out?
Volkov looked decent against Roy. It's really hard to look impressive against Roy unless you knock him out, because he just comes at you and whatever. Looked good, but you really can't say much about that because Williams was putting his hands on his knees like towards the end of the round. We'll see. Dukin will look pretty good though, but yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it.
All right. Well, we got fight this week, another free fight as we like. UFC Nashville, Fight Night Nashville, I should say. Saturday night, one of the worst headlining fights I've ever seen. Cub Swanson, who I like a lot, somehow, you know, if you suck Connor's balls long enough, they keep taking care of you at the UFC. Artem Lobov is maining this fight. It's on FS1, prelims are on FS2, and you got some fight pass prelims. You're going to have your little deal like normal that's going to cover a lot. And, like, it's funny because some of the other cards on the main card are outstanding. I'd actually prefer any of the other 5 probably over the main event.
Yeah.
But what are you kind of looking at? And like I said, you'll have more later, but what are you looking at on this one?
The first one that really caught my eye, I've actually started digging into it. I started digging into it today. I bet Diego Sanchez +325 against Iaquinta. Iaquinta's coming off a long layoff. Anytime I can get Sanchez above +250, I'm going to bet him. It's almost like an automatic bet. But I think Sanchez can beat him. More active, of course. Iaquinta's pretty good fighter, but he hasn't been in the octagon. I mean, you got to question the desire. How often? I mean, does he really want to be in there? What's he doing this for? Really? Should Iaquinta be laying -420, -400, -425, whatever it is? Like, no. So, Diego was a no-brainer for me. I mean, I looked at some fights and stuff, but 2 years, it's like, really?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah. And then the Cub Swanson Artem Lobov fight, unbettable unless you want to take Swanson inside the distance or whatever. I'm really just kind of like really, really getting into it. Dustin Ortiz fight looks pretty good. I might be on Ortiz. So because the lines were just released today, so I'm just getting into it. But
no worries.
Ortiz looks good, I think, and but he's a little chalky. But Diego's worth a, you know, whatever you want to put on a +325 dog. So I bet him.
Okay, guys, one last thing on this fight card. I want to let everybody know, watch the prelims on FS2. Those are definitely 4 really good fights.
Yes.
I didn't realize. I saw some names. Jessica Penny, for Christ's sake, almost made the fight pass prelims. She's a talented fighter. You got Holtzman. You got that Ortiz fight you mentioned. And then Dallas Laetes against Sam Alves.
That's going to be a good one. I think Alvey can win that.
I agree.
And there's one fight on the card that I'm like tempted. It's De Lima against OSP. Like OSP has looked like dog shit, but De Lima's like, oh God, he's so, I think De Lima has the talent. I just, if he can like, put it all together. I mean, he just leaves himself open sometimes. Yeah. So we'll see. But Dodson and Weiland looks good. Joe Lozon. We'll see. It's gonna be a really, really, it's a lot of like it's just a lot of good fights. I mean,
I think the way someone phrased it best, I heard, I think it was something I was listening to last week about the Kansas City card. It was basically Nashville. It was like a horrible main event. It's not a horrible fight. It's just a horrible main event.
Yeah.
But the rest of the card's really good. And looking at it, it's a phenomenal card. But it's like all fights with really no ramifications.
Right.
Yeah. That's basically like there's no number one contenders. Really not a ton of like up-and-coming guys that are going to make that next big leap. It's just a bunch of guys that have been in the game and really good-looking fights. I didn't realize it was that good until I just looked at it right there. That's a really good card, actually.
Ellenberger's probably going to get knocked out too.
Well, you know, the end's got to happen to these people eventually. Yeah. It's just a sad fact. I know I sound like a complete prick, but it's just the sad reality of the situation.
Yeah.
And then we got UFC 211. We actually get like 2 weeks off after this weekend. It's a miracle for the UFC. Miocic Dos Santos, we'll have your pay-per-view preview on that one. Don't you worry about that. I wanted to bring up also, I didn't put it on the outline, but half the stuff we've talked about hasn't been on the outline, which is fine by me. The Ultimate Fighter kicks off tomorrow night. Season 25, Redemption. You got Cody Garbrandt and Dillashaw as the coaches. I love The Ultimate Fighter. I'm pretty sure you watch it.
Yep.
This looks outstanding. Like the last season with the champions was really good.
Mm-hmm.
This one, if people don't know the thing Redemption, think what Redemption means in the Webster Dictionary. These are past Ultimate Fighters that are coming back to get back in the UFC, essentially.
It's pretty cool. This is like a bunch of Tim Elliott's.
Yes, and Tim Elliott looked great.
Yes, he did. Yes, he. You know what? And out of all my, when I did my UFC on Fox write up, I previewed that fight. I thought the fight was totally mislined. I actually picked Smolka, believe it or not.
I picked him in Talbot just because of the line.
Yeah, that was my only loss on my write ups. But Smolka made it interesting though, for sure.
He did. He made it. He had a couple chances there. He definitely did.
Yeah.
But yeah. And if you guys watch The Ultimate Fighter, it's at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific tomorrow night. But before it, they're doing the 25th anniversary special. It's a 2-hour special covering all The Ultimate Fighter, basically the best moments and everything. That should be pretty cool because there's been a lot of awesome stuff. If it wasn't for The Ultimate Fighter, I truly think the UFC would not be where it is today. I know it's probably a pretty easy statement, but if you have not seen the Forrest Griffin Stephen Bonner fight, like looking back on it now, it's actually a pretty shitty fight, kind of. Back then, I remember exactly where I was watching that fight. Like, I know exactly where I was.
Yep.
And I saw it on TV. They had it on like a month or two ago, and I laughed going, wow, where the sport has come now, because that fight is actually pretty bad compared to where we are now.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it. Like, I think we've talked about it in like other Bench with Bubba's and whatnot. But like, compared to back then, it's crazy how MMA has evolved. It's absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think about it. That weight class, I believe it was like the season after was heavyweights, and Rashad Evans had to make heavyweight just to be on the Ultimate Fighter. He wins the Ultimate Fighter. Then obviously he fights at 205. Griffin, he spent time at different weight classes on that first season. That first season's like a Hall of Fame of UFC.
Seriously.
The fighters on that first season, even like Josh Koscheck, all these guys that had great careers in the UFC.
Yeah.
Insane. Like even if you guys want to go back, watch season one. It was awesome.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so I'd recommend it if you haven't seen a lot of The Ultimate Fighter or you're just a fight fan, TiVo it, whatever, but check out that 25th anniversary special. That should be pretty awesome.
Definitely.
And the fights this weekend, I'm pumped now. I didn't realize the card was that good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Really, really good. Well, that covers everything we had here, but I can BS all you want. Do you have anything else you want to talk about? Any subjects on sports or TV or movies or anything? I don't give a shit.
Well, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Top three surprise teams this year in baseball so far, even though it's early.
So far. Okay. Yeah, it's early, but there are some. And even though I expect them to falter mightily, especially with the injuries, like I just recorded an Around the Bases about 3 hours ago. You still have to be impressed with a team like the Twins.
Yes.
I am thoroughly impressed with the Twins because if anybody has listened to any of my podcasts, multiple podcasts, other people's podcasts, that is my team I basically had a hard on to say, you guys are going to suck this year. Like, it's like Happy Gilmore, you will suck, you jackass. They were, and I still think they have a chance to, because right now they're flying high on like Hector Santiago and, goddamn, what's Mr. Dreadlocks that had his 50-game suspension? I'm blanking all of a sudden. Irvin Santana.
Yeah.
They're flying high on arms like that. They're pitching great, but they're more like third starters. But those bats, if Paul Molitor knew how to run a lineup and get Mauer out of the way, and they're doing all this with Buxton hitting like a .120 at the best, it's impressive. They are playing good ball. I like what the Reds are doing, but they'll falter as well. But they're playing good to start the year. I'll say that much.
Right.
But Diamondbacks.
Yes.
Scary.
Torrey Lovello. You liked them.
You were big on them.
Torrey Lovello. Telling you, he's a difference maker.
Yeah. And the biggest thing, I saw them in person last week. I had good seats. I'm big on Robbie Ray. I got to watch him and – he's all about location because he likes to paint corners, but he has great strikeout stuff. If he can figure it out and Miller looks better and if Greinke can just stop throwing batting practice, they'll be okay. But the biggest thing with them, like I was telling guys even at the game that night when they're like, why are the Diamondbacks playing so well? I said, look at the top two guys in their lineup, Pollock and Peralta. They were injured almost all of last year.
Yep.
Those two guys are all-stars. Like – that's big losses. At least Pollock's an all-star. Peralta's a fringe all-star. Like, yeah. It's big stuff. So there's a lot to like, a lot to dislike. I could talk baseball for hours. But it's fun. We're in week three already, which is crazy. But it's nuts. It's rocking and rolling. You guys might get David Price back pretty soon. You got to be excited about that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I know. That's Mo's feeling on it as well. Mo and I both still think he's having surgery.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. It wouldn't shock me.
Like, he's throwing on flat ground. He threw a bullpen. He might throw a rehab pretty soon. When he starts finally airing it out, we'll see how that elbow is.
Yeah. I've been – is this just let everybody know? I don't know if everybody knows the whole thing last year when I said that – I had just finished the gens like a little while before, and I said, yeah, I'm probably going to take baseball season off, and then it out well.
So, yeah, that never worked out for you.
Yeah, that didn't work out. You were talking about the Twins. Sano, Miguel Sano. Is going to be
– he's a monster.
He is walk last night from a 1-2 count. Mm-hmm. The plate was just – somebody told me about – I saw a tweet about it. So I went back on MLB.TV. Actually, I got a military discount on that.
Outstanding.
So I'm paying I got like – being a veteran, I got like – oh, God, like 40% off?
Well, there you go, people. If you're a veteran and you listen to Bench with Bubba, get your MLB TV on.
Seriously, man. It's like unbelievable deals. So it's like a sore dick. You can't beat it. So I went back and watched that at bat, and it's just amazing, like, how much he's grown in this short a time. He's a special player. He's going to be a very, very good player for a long time.
Yeah, he was one of my guys I was huge on. I was big on him last year, and you could say he was a letdown, but he's young, so I kind of like, oh, okay, he'll be fine. He was like, he still looked like his hard contact rate and that stuff. It was still outstanding.
Yeah.
And he's come out, and like I said in the preseason, the biggest thing that I loved about this year is he's back to third base. They put him in a whole new position last year. He's not an outfielder. Have you seen the size of that man? Like, give me a break. He's a third baseman, a first baseman, or a DH. That's it.
Yeah.
Very simple and important. So he's back where he wants to be. The sky's the limit for him, I'm telling you. And the best thing is when Maurer's contract's up in a couple more years, you can slide him over to first. He's a guy that's going to be really nice. I like him a ton.
What do you think about Panda this season?
I told Mo and anybody else that wanted to listen, if he's healthy, he's not a bad ball player. He's a headache at times because he's extremely streaky, like really streaky.
So
he's a headache, but he plays better defense than you think. He's like, he's a 500-pound fucking monster over there, but he can move a little bit. I'll give him credit. And but when it comes to hitting, he's a great hitter. Seriously. And he's just streaky. You're just not going to get 30 plus home runs. You got to get that through your head already. But he's going to get you doubles. He's going to hit you like 280. And in that lineup, that's plenty good.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. No, he's been hitting the ball pretty well. I mean, mostly home runs anyway. So
I think he went yard again tonight.
Yeah, because I took the Red Sox tonight. They were plus 150 something, and I took them.
So there you go.
They're up 7-4. So
where's your disappointing?
What's
the Blue Jays?
Oh, there's your disappointing
Blue Jays. Done.
Huge.
Done. As Dan Plesac said last week when they lost, when they were like 1-9 or whatever, he already said their season is over.
Yep.
And I'm starting to believe it now.
So Pizzola is already drinking wine, listening to Five for Fighting.
Yeah, I think he's buying the new new cowboy straw hat that doesn't have a Toronto logo on it for his NFL Periscope.
So one more thing I will add, and I will, encourage people to watch or listen tomorrow to the Champions League game, Barcelona against Juventus. If you haven't checked out Francesco's write-ups on the sportsdegens.com, they're especially his Italian. Holy crap!
Yeah, if you want to make
money, if you've been telling his Italian Serie A, and I haven't because sometimes I'm just busy, but that guy is just—he is really, really good. But bets, I think they did pretty well today. But Barcelona is down 0-3 on aggregate, and just like they were down 0-4 on aggregate against Paris Saint-Germain. So now Camp Nou face Juventus, and they have to win nothing to force extra time. Let's see what happens. Be very interesting.
That should be wild. That should be wild yet again, just like last time, like you said. I remember Twitter like exploded when that happened.
Oh my God. And I'm not the biggest soccer fan, but I mean, I played a lot when I was a kid and whatnot. Champions League, I love it. I love Champions League. And Duncan will tell you, I love Champions League parlays when they're in the group stage. Love them.
Right. Yeah, no, that's something to watch. I went to a PSG match when I was in Paris with my wife a couple years back. I told her we're going to do the honeymoon, but we were going to Rome and Paris. I said if there's a soccer match, I have to go. As a sports fan, I have to go to a foreign soccer match.
It's just absolutely, absolutely.
PSG was playing. We checked it out. Ibra was there still. It was awesome. Like literally one of the cool experiences of my life. It was bananas. And I recommend it to anybody, but check it out. I enjoy watching soccer now. It sounds silly, but it's a fun sport. It really is.
It is.
Too bad USA sucks, but that's a whole other story. Yeah.
I know.
Can't win everything.
So that's all I got for tonight.
Cool. No, that's great. I have fun. That's why I love having you on because certain guests, and this isn't a gripe on other guests, but it's like we have the outline. We got to stick to it because we have a lot this, that, or the other. But we have a repertoire or whatever they call it and rapport.
Rapport, yeah.
Rapport, that's the word I was looking for, not rapport. report, and we can just talk about all kinds of shit. So I appreciate it. It's fun.
No problem, man.
Thanks for joining again. You're like definitely one of the most regular guests I have. It's like your fifth one or sixth one or something. Out of 36, you're batting pretty high up there. That was awesome. Guys, check Doc out at @positive_vig. He has his AFC free agent grades. Richard had his NFC. They're working on their mock draft. You can look up last year's on thesportsdegens.com. Lots of good stuff. They go back and forth and draft. It's really, really cool. They're doing it all like on message right now, and then they'll type it up later. It's a really cool deal. And check out Francesco's stuff. It's out there. Check out DFS Golf Gods, Jesse's weekly DFS. It's freaking crazy. Super good. Super good. I pick his brain a lot. He's so intelligent and a super nice guy. Like he said on pods in the past, if you guys have questions, hit him up. He has no problem helping you. So check it out. But check out thesportsdegens.com, @thesportsdegens, and more and more stuff to come. But Doc, again, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. My pleasure. Thank you.
Yep. This was Bench with Bubba, episode 36. We'll catch you guys next time.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.